There we stood, leaning forward, one hand gripping the balcony rail, the other an Asafo flag. We were on the Asafo flag, two-headed eagles holding headless rope. We were Nubs, Necropolitan Police. We were on the flag we stood holding. Nubs, new conscripts, Mobius, the hold we had on where we were. Appliqué figures, cloth. We were real, it seemed, more than cut out. It seemed, seeming so, we were. We were cloth filled with flutter, flap, featherless, birds and word only, cut from cloth.
It seems a rather general question to start with, but one that I'm interested in, and that is, why poetry?
Probably because it's of the various genres, it's the closest to music. The sound of it, the impact of it on one's ear and the rest of you via the ear, was something that registered with me very early on, and I think it stayed with me. And though I'm not a musician, music has come to have an enormous presence in my writing.
You've been around the poetry and the creative writing world for a long time, and I wonder how you find the internet in making what was once, you know, you had to go out and seek poetry and you had to get yourself published in a journal and you had to really succeed, you know, get over that first hump of just being able to, someone can see the words. Now you can just put it out there. What is that doing for poetry?
Well, it's making it more available. The legacy of self-publishing is pretty, you know, is pretty huge, though. And the internet just continues that. I mean, Walt Whitman self-published Leaves of Grass. In fact, he not only self-published it, he wrote a review of it himself, but didn't sign his name to it. So I think the nature of poetry, especially, is such that it's not an art that has mass monetary rewards to it, and it's not an art that has mass appeal these days. It's just in competition with other more spectacular media.
And what have you seen in terms of, have you seen any changes in the work that you're, in the poetry and the work that your students are producing over the years?
The appearance of the poem on the page has changed.
The actual format.
Yeah, the way in which it's, the layout of the poem has changed. Coming out of the typewriter generation of the 50s and 60s, where there was a lot of experimentation with, you know, with variable margins, you know, not having every line return to the left margin, but putting them out in, you know, in the, using the space of the page in a different way. You know, multiple margins and spacing between lines and stanzas. There was a lot going on with that. Charles Olson famously in his 1950 essay Projective Verse talked about the typewriter as an instrument of composition and how the typewriter could be used, you know, to show how the poem sounds as a kind of scoring device. And the poets that I read, like Olson, you know, when I was a teenager and into my early 20s, we're doing things with the typewriter. Increasingly, that's not done because of the word processor. And one of the things I find that I have to alert my students to is that, and this is getting very minuscule, but because of the sort of auto memory functions of the typewriter of the word processor of the computer, they often find themselves doing stuff that they don't necessarily consciously want to do, like capitalizing each line. Because the computer will do that for you.